This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Well, obviously some a lot of sad news. We had just found out that Dr. Joy Brown had passed. I don't have many details, but she's a talk radio star who would help people with their psychological questions, and you know, she had such a huge heart, and was only 71 years old, and you know, she looked like she was in her 30s. She, beautiful, beautiful woman. And unfortunately, we lose an icon. She received her MA and a PhD from Northeastern University in Boston. She got her start in talk radio, and then she went into national syndication in New York's WOR back in the early 90s. This has been reported by talkers.com. And she also works with GCN. She was my radio sister here at GCN. And it's a shame. And, hearing that just, saddened us. And, many of us were very, very shocked about hearing Gene Wilder pass at the age of 83. You know, Gene Wilder had died, and from what we understand, he was dealing with Alzheimer's. He was very well known for Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, and he was in a lot of Mel Brooks films, you know, like The Producer. He was in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and just a gifted actor. And he had been married to Gilda Radner, who had died of ovarian cancer. And I had told you that a movie I was watching with him and Gilda had saved lives of patients that I had taken care of, because there was that one movie where they were in a plane when the pilot was burping a lot, and then all of a sudden it keels over. And you know, I had, as a little girl, seen, okay, well, if somebody's burping a lot, that means they could die. And then I come to learn that he probably had, or how that happens is somebody could have an inferior MI, an inferior heart attack, that ends up causing you to burp multiple times. So when I had a patient come in saying they were burping the night before all night long, I immediately honed in on the heart. And found out that he actually had a heart attack the night before. And then he starts to have his aftermath later that next day. And so luckily we were able to save his life. But I credit Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner for that movie. They made it entertaining enough for me as a kid to watch. So he died of complications, Gene Wilder, from Alzheimer's disease. He had struggled for about 3 years. Gene Wilder had not chosen to disclose his illness. Many of us saw him last, I think he was with Will and Grace. Back in 2005, he had an interview with CNN where he discussed how he met Mel Brooks. He was cast in a play opposite Anne Bancroft, and that led to The Producers and Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein, all because he was miscast in a play. And he says it changed his life. So he was married to Gilda Radner for 5 years until she died in 1989. And so now he's up there with her. His current wife, Karen Wilder, he has been with for 25 years. And so it's sad. Oh, gosh, rough. Very rough year. John Lennon's killer is in the news, Mark David Chapman. And he's in the news because for the ninth time, he's been denied parole. Mark David Chapman met with a 3-member parole panel during the week and was later informed that he is going to be kept behind bars for at least another 2 years, when he will be next eligible for parole, according to the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. The official did not know the reasoning behind the decision. They said in the past, a parole board, even while citing Chapman's clean prison record since 1994, has routinely said that releasing him would undermine respect for the law. A lawyer and spokesman for Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, did not return calls. Chapman, 61 years old, had shot John Lennon December 8, 1980. That was as John Lennon was returning to his Dakota home across from Central Park. This was in New York. Sentenced to 20 years in prison, Chapman currently resides at Upstate Wind Correctional Facility. The news recently reported that since his last parole hearing in 2014, five people sent letters to the parole board seeking his release. These are also two letters during that time in opposition to granting his parole. So, yeah, you just wonder if anybody like that will even get out, you know? Chapman said in his 2014 parole hearing that if he's released, there's a minister who has agreed to take him in and give him a job. He said he learned how to fix wheelchairs while behind bars. You know, he had also admitted to having other targets. He had said he wanted to kill Johnny Carson and Elizabeth Taylor, who obviously now have, you know, passed. And he said he would have gone to get them if he didn't get John Lennon. So, I don't know what makes a good, evaluation. You know, if somebody can go back out there, I mean, John Hinckley Jr., who shot President Reagan, I believe now he's getting out. He's still going to be supervised visits. He has to live with his mom, who is still alive. And, you know, I mean, and that to me is very concerning because we heard that when he was out, on his, you know, library visits, he would be reading books about assassinations and I guess trying to look for his name or I don't know. So I'm not a huge fan of you know, letting people out who, you know, shot, you know, major figures like that, where, because it's not so much the major figure, but when you shoot somebody that you have been stalking and planning and you hate them that much, then you obviously have some major mental illness. And, you know, for somebody to want to bring down the president, what are their gains? And it also means they're very, very intelligent. You know, and so, you know, this wasn't just an act of, you know, a crime against passion, a crime of passion, or it wasn't something where it was the heat of the moment. These were very well calculated. And I just get a little nervous that some of these people could be so calculated enough that they can, you know, fool the parole board. And, you know, my guess is the parole board has, you know, some psychologists on there. They have some, you know, very well-versed people. And then if not, they probably go, you know what, no, we're not going to mess with it. You know, somebody could very easily go, you know what, it was wrong. I really hated the Beatles music, and I just wanted to put an end to the Beatles, and I wanted to become famous. I wanted to, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen again. They're not going to let him out. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY, don't go away.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. As you know, blood banks across the country have declared critically low supplies. In response to this, we've created a National Blood Donation Week. September 4th to September 10th is National Blood Donation Week, and September 10th is National Blood Donation Day. Governors in multiple states have declared their state blood donation day to be September 10th, and we are hoping this encourages millions of Americans to donate blood. See, when a crisis strikes, the blood needs to be in the hospitals ready to go. But remember, the units need to be processed days before. And since thousands of units of blood are already being used by hospitals on a regular daily basis, blood supplies need to be prepared and delivered year-round. If you can't donate blood, please host a drive or even spread the word. It all saves lives. So while your governor's office is working on the proclamation, please sign up to donate blood or host a drive at drdahlia.com or follow the link to National Blood Donation Week. Remember, one pint of blood could save three lives. Imagine what the whole country could do.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details. Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 79cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit.
credit history. Visit 79cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 79cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 79cash.com. Type www.79cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
Are you one of the millions of Americans who suffer from digestive issues like heartburn, acid reflux, IBS, and constipation? Probimune is your answer. Probimune is a brand new probiotic that has been scientifically proven to deliver high quantities of viable good bacteria to your gut to boost your digestive system and improve your overall health. This unique, powerful blend of probiotic strains, coupled with our industry-leading proprietary fermentation process, delivers a maximized bacterial colonization to the gut that no other probiotic can match. Start improving your health today. Visit younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off first-time orders. Maintaining digestive health is crucial to the body's overall well-being. Don't suffer from negative effects of poor digestion any longer. Order today. Younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLight. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLight. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Tom who was working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so a lot of us hate getting eye drops. We cannot stand putting eye drops into our eyes. Well, now they possibly have a contact lens that will slowly release medicine into the eye. So do you guys get the logic behind that? If you don't want to put eye drops in your eye, hopefully you want to put a in a contact lens in your eye. Anyway, they say in animal tests, they have been at least as good as traditional eye drops at treating glaucoma, the second biggest cause of blindness worldwide. The U.S. researchers said if further tests prove the lens's worth, millions of people's sight could be spared. With glaucoma, the buildup of pressure obviously damages the optic nerve, which is this vital link between the eye and the brain. Eye drops can't repair the damage, but they can stop it from getting worse. However, they're really unpopular with patients because they don't like to self-administer, and they say that the medicine burns and stings. So many of the patients don't use the drugs properly. So scientists have tried to make drug-dispensing contact lenses before, but have struggled to control the rate at which the medicine is released. Now researchers from Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary have packed the drug in a polymer film that releases it slowly and steadily for up to 100 days. That is incredible. The drug polymer film sits at the edge of the lens, leaving the clear center clear enough to see through. In tests on monkeys with glaucoma, lenses that dispensed a low dose of the glaucoma drug latanoprost were just as good as drops at reducing the damaging pressure rise in the eye. And the lenses packed with this high dose of the drug were better. So anyway, researchers, Dr. Joseph Ciolino, said based on a preliminary data, the lenses have not only the potential to improve compliance for patients, but also the potential of providing better pressure reduction than the drops. They say if we could address the problem of compliance, we could help patients adhere to the therapy necessary to maintain vision, you know, issues like glaucoma, and that could save millions from preventable blindness. I mean, this is pretty damn cool. It's just usually people that don't do well with eye drops really don't do well with contact lenses. Do you guys know how to put a contact in your eye? Okay, it took me years to figure, it took my son years to perfect. And the reason why it takes years is because you give up after one. And then you don't try it again for another 6 months. And then you try it again, and then you don't try it for another 6 months. And I'm not very good at putting anything in my eye. In fact, when I do drops, what I do is I lower the lid. In fact, that's a trick. When you have to administer drops to your kids or grandkids, don't have them lean their head back and then try to drop it onto their eye, because the kids are flinching and their eyes are closing, and I can never stand that. What I do is I just lower the lower lid, and then I drop it into the lower lid, without touching it, obviously, and then I let them close their eye and the medicine gets in. So that's a much easier way for me to administer the eye drops. And that's what I do, and I do it on myself as well. I'll just pour it into the bottom of the eye, eyelid, and I'll pull that lid out. But, you know, when it comes to putting a contact in, you know, a lot of times you're supposed to look up. You put it in the lower part of the eye, and then you move it upward. For me, I just kind of put it on there directly, and then I waited for it to kind of suction on there, because when it's wet and moist, your contact lens will just immediately, you know, go on the globe of the eye and immediately adhere to that. But oh my gosh, contact lenses stunk. I hated wearing contacts. And in fact, my eyes started to reject them. I started to get this granuloma condition where the eyelid did not like the contact, that it would start to build tissue to make a barrier between the eyelid and the contact lens. You know, your body knows when something's foreign. So for me, but again, that was years. That was, you know, years of using contact lenses. So maybe something like this, you know, would work. But it's, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, good for them for, you know, yeah. All right, 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Chemicals in common household products could increase your risk of lung damage. They said chemicals used in sprays and detergents, which get our workshops and basins shining, they said, could lead to lung damage. Yeah, I always wondered, you know, when I look at the toilet in my house or the sink, and then you put this chemical onto it, and you almost see it corroded away, and you see something brown turn shiny porcelain white, I'm like, there has got to be something toxic in this stuff. A Norwegian study found people who use household products are at greater risk of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, which includes chronic bronchitis and emphysema. And the study looked at 5,000 women over a 20-year period using data from the European Community Respiratory Health Survey, and it found those who cleaned for a living had a 17% greater decline in lung function compared to the average person. They say, but even those who, even if you scrub surfaces at home, could suffer from a 14% loss of lung function. They think it's because you're being exposed to chemical agents that could irritate the airways, or you could even get an allergic airway disease. Austin Savanis, lead author from the University of Bergen, said people need to be more aware of what they're spraying. We need to start being more aware of chemicals we're releasing into the air, which is why, by the way, when it comes to sunscreen, I really cannot stand spray-on sunscreen. The less your child breathes in, the better. COPD obviously kills thousands upon thousands of people each year. It damages the little air sacs, little alveoli of the lungs, so people eventually get emphysema. It also decreases the compliance of the lungs, such that you get air trapping and you aren't able to get air out to get new air in. It can also cause inflamed and thickened airways and cause mucus plugs, like as we see with chronic bronchitis. So cleaning products can obviously put you at risk. You got to be aware. One of you had asked me if they cause cancer and that you heard cleaning products cause cancer. I don't have particularly a study in front of me to discussing that. But listen, you know, the more you expose your lungs to chemicals, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a link. But right now, this study is only talking about lung function and putting you more at risk for emphysema and chronic bronchitis. So the Healthy Lungs for Life campaign says people should check the ingredients and avoid products that could put people at risk and carefully follow instructions on the label. It says wipes rather than sprays have less airborne particles to breathe. They also suggest that when you do clean, you need to open the doors and the windows. And this research will be presented for those of you that want to come to the European Respiratory Society's International Congress in London, which starts Saturday. Yeah, see, they don't. I don't think they celebrate Labor Day weekend. Or maybe they do, and it's easy for us to go there because it's Labor Day weekend. Easy for us. How many of us can even, you know, yeah, I've never gone to Europe. I can never afford to go to Europe. All right, when we talk about lungs, a lot of us ask about sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea, pretty scary stuff, where you stop breathing in your sleep because of an obstruction of your airway, your tongue, fat, the way your jaw sits. So we've been recommending CPAP. And the reason why we recommend CPAP is because it's been shown in previous studies to protect your heart, you know, prevent stroke. I think it's going to help prevent dementia. I think we all should probably go on some sort of CPAP. Unfortunately, we have a new study that has really now confused the heck out of us, where it did lower the CPAP, which is the continuous positive airway pressure, that is this mass that helps you push air into the into your lungs. It did lower sleep apnea symptoms, but they said it did nothing to lower your odds of heart attack, stroke, or heart-related death. Now, that goes completely against what I've been saying all this time. They say, unfortunately, our study does not support the use of CPAP treatment solely for prevention of future cardiovascular events. They say they looked at 2,700 people with moderate to severe sleep apnea from 89 clinical centers. Most were overweight male, average age 61, habitual snorers. All have been diagnosed with some sort of heart disease. Half the patients were randomly chosen to receive the CPAP, while the others got the usual care, the standard heart disease care. None of the participants who used the CPAP had done so prior to the trial. So this is a new thing for them, treatment for them. And they found no differences in their risk of heart attack, stroke, mini stroke, hospitalization, or heart failure. They said 17% of patients with CPAP had a serious cardiovascular event compared to 15.4% of non-users. So you almost saw a little bit of more. So what does that mean? Well, what I think it means is if you do have heart disease, that's got to be starting in your 20s and in your 30s, such that all of a sudden you're trying to do CPAP now and, you know, help with your breathing. You know, if you don't intervene early, I don't think it's going to do much. Now, they also found that in the study, the participants only use CPAP 3 hours a night. That's not long enough to benefit the heart. But, you know, here's my thing. I think a little bit still helps because, you know, many people, they have their heart attack or they have their stroke first thing in the morning. And that occurs when they've been, you know, asleep at night with, you know, hypoxia, you know, where their air has been going down. Then all of a sudden they get up and their heart can't handle the stress. So I still think it's, you know, important to use, but it just shows we need to study it more. 1-877-DR-SALLY. Don't go away.
I'm a walking in the rain. This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is non-legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show, 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. Well, a lot of us talk to our dogs and we talk to our cats, and I do, all right? And I really think they understand what I mean. You know, when I'm like, oh, my God, you're not supposed to be. Okay, and I think they completely understand what that means because they act like they do. You know, I mean, they give me the response that I want to. Well, I guess there's the science behind it now saying our dog really knows what we're saying, and they have a brain scan to prove it. The dog really gets us. Scientists in Hungary who have published a groundbreaking study that found dogs understand both the meaning of words and the intonation used to speak them. Put simply, even if you use a very excited tone of voice to tell the dog he's going to the vet, he'll probably see through you and be bummed about going. That's what we do. We go, oh, I need to take her tissue to the vet, and then he's going to give you your shots, and then he's going to clean out the glands. And, you know, the dog is like, I'm really not excited about that. And my husband's like, why are you telling him that? He doesn't understand. And I'm like, no. Did you notice he didn't get happy about that? That we have to clean out the tissue glands? They said it has already been established that dogs respond to human voices better than their wolf brethren and are able to match hundreds of objects to words like and can be directed by human speech. But the new findings mean dogs are more like humans than previously known. They process language using the same regions of the brain as people. So, to determine this, Attila Andix and colleagues at Eötvös Loránd University in Budapest recruited 13 family dogs, mostly golden retrievers and border collies. Good, because my yellow lab, I mean, honestly, he wouldn't do anything he's told. So he couldn't be trained. And they trained them to sit totally still for 7 minutes in a functional MRI scanner that measured their brain activity. And the puppies were not restrained. They could leave the scanner at any time, the author said. A female trainer familiar to the dogs then spoke words of praise that all their owners said they used, like that's it, clever, well done, and neutral words like yet and if. When the researchers, what the researchers thought would be meaningless to animals. Each dog heard each word in both a neutral tone and a happy attaboy tone. Like, attaboy, you said that you didn't leave the functional MRI. What a good puppy. Anyway, using the brain activity images, the researchers saw that the dogs processed the familiar words regardless of intonation, and they did so using the left hemisphere like humans. Tone, on the other hand, was analyzed in the auditory regions of the right hemisphere, just as it is with people. Then they saw the dog's reward center was stimulated by pleasant things like petting, or which for us is stimulated by, you know, food, sex, etc. It did the brain equivalent of jumping and yelping when positive words were spoken in a positive tone. So they say it shows that for dogs, a nice praise can very well work as a reward, but it works best if both words and intonation match. So dogs not only tell apart what we say and how we say it, but they can also combine the two for the correct interpretation, I guess, of what the words mean. So the researchers said it's unlikely that human selection of dogs during their domestication, which occurred about 15,000 years ago, could have led to this sort of brain function. They think it's probably more ancient. So they think we maybe may not be as special, you know, dogs. Sometimes I think dogs are smarter than us. My dog is. My dog is very smart. I compare the dog to the kids sometimes. And I love my kids, but Lord have mercy. You know, my dog knows exactly when it's dinner time. He knows exactly where the food is. Like dinner last night. Okay, guys, dinner. Come downstairs, you know, because my husband was cooking. And they just start to, like, wander around in circles. Guys, come on, dinner, time to eat, you know, plate and all, you know, guys. And they just kind of wander around in circles. Mom, where do we go? Will you sit down at the table? Where do you want me to sit? Yet the dog is already at attention, already there in perfect, you know, perfect posture, waiting for his eats. I mean, I'm like, really? All right, well, speaking about prehistoric and ancestry, remember Lucy? Lucy is the pre-human, okay? Who I guess is our first ancestor. And they say they found her bones in Ethiopia, right? But now scientists are saying that she probably died by falling out of a tree. CT scans of the very delicate fossilized bones dug up back in 1974 show fractures best explained by a hard fall from a tree, according to John Kappelman of the University of Texas at Austin. Their findings published in the journal Nature, they say, are going to now lead to more debate about what happened to Lucy 3 million years ago. I don't know why they called her Lucy. Honestly, really, Lucy? We had the idea. Well, remember, Lucy was still a popular name in the 70s because of I Love Lucy. We had the idea that we could put together a complete story of how she lived, According to Richard Kitchen, who specializes in using imaging and geology and paleontology. Now, we didn't anticipate coming up with a complete story of how she died, and that's something that's happened. Cracks in her arm bones show Lucy was probably awake and trying to break her fall. Cracks in her leg bones and a fractured skull show that she landed hard, probably in a dry steam bed. They say she died quickly. Lucy has been assigned to the species Australopithecus afarensis. Her brain was slightly bigger than that of a modern-day chimpanzee, but her skeleton clearly shows she walked upright, and she also had features of a tree climber. She was just over 3.5 feet tall, and her legs were made for walking, they said, but she had strong arms that could have swung up easily into trees. So scientists have long debated whether she and her brethren lived in trees or if they spent their days on the ground. She's one of the most completely represented skeletons, and she's been able to tell us a lot about early humans. They say the evidence from the CT scan suggests the fractures in Lucy's bones happened when she was alive and aren't damage caused as the bones lay in the hardening dirt. They didn't heal, and that suggests she died from the injuries. And the fractures looked like what happens when a human falls from a very tall place. He said in the humerus arm bone, the fracture are natural conditions commonly caused by an impact of a vertical deceleration event when you outstretch your arm in an attempt to break their fall. So if she tried to break the fall when she fell, they would see a sort of a crack in that humerus. The fracture leaves a unique signature on the humeral head and is common in two distinct populations: elderly people who have suffered a reduction in bone strength when even a fall from standing height onto an outstretched arm could fracture, and they could also compress the head as well into the greatly weakened shaft of the head humerus, and people with healthy bone strength who experience a fall from considerable height that in turn produces an impact with more powerful forces on the outstretched arm. So they looked at fractures of the forearms, lower limbs, pelvis. What if she was pushed out of the tree? I say she was pushed. Pelvis, ribs, and skull. Maybe she was fighting with a girl named Lulu over a guy named Thor. You don't know. They say the area where Lucy was found is dry now, but 3 million years ago it was a grassy woodland, according to the team. Given Lucy's small size, she, like many small primates, probably sought nightly refuge in trees and possibly foraged there. Now, chimpanzees often climb 300 feet or higher. A fall from that height would definitely kill somebody. They said, given the severity of the fractures, it is likely that the impact occurred on a hard surface, perhaps a dry bed of the channel itself. And let me see what else they found. See, I think this is cool. I mean, it's a shame that she died. It's a shame that she died that way. But, wow. Oh, okay, now I know why they named her Lucy. They say the team that found Lucy named her after the popular Beatles song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And they had listened to that song while they were working in Ethiopia. Ah, that's how they got it. You know, I think it's absolutely fascinating where we see our ancestors and then we try to figure out and we try to piece back, you know, what happened to them. And many of you will say, well, look, the bones just cracked after, you know, thousands and thousands of years. When a bone disintegrates, there's a little bit more of a consistent, predictable way than if there's the type of crack. And the fact that they saw all these cracks, you know, and they saw a crack in the skull, etc. Because otherwise then we would have seen a more even distribution of the cracks, because obviously the bone lived at the same time, so you wouldn't see these finite markings and these very localized fractures. So I believe it. I believe she fell out of a tree. What does that mean for us? I don't know. And man, we used to live in trees, I guess. 1-877-DOCTOR-ELLY. Don't go away.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. As you know, blood banks across the country have declared critically low supplies. In response to this, we've created a National Blood Donation Week. September 4th to September 10th is National Blood Donation Week, and September 10th is National Blood Donation Day. Governors in multiple states have declared their state blood donation day to be September 10th, and we are hoping this encourages millions of Americans to donate blood. See, when a crisis strikes, the blood needs to be in the hospitals ready to go. But remember, the units need to be processed days before. And since thousands of units of blood are already being used by hospitals on a regular daily basis, blood supplies need to be prepared and delivered year-round. If you can't donate blood, please host a drive or even spread the word. It all saves lives. So while your governor's office is working on the proclamation, please sign up to donate blood or host a drive at drdahlia.com or follow the link to National Blood Donation Week. Remember, one pint of blood could save three lives. Imagine what the whole country could do.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-798-4326. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-798-4326. That's 1-800-798-4326. 1-800-798-4326.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Guys, we are back back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. So we have a 20-year-old woman in Florida who, I guess, claims she has the longest tongue in the world. She is able to touch her elbow, earlobe, and eye by extending her tongue. Her elbow, well, obviously she has to bring her elbow to her mouth. I'm trying to that like right now. Bancroft Media reported that Gurkari Brocco-Blaquette's lizard-like licking talent has attracted an online following of more than 1 million people, according to Fox News, who watch her YouTube videos. She's from Ocala, and she is believed to have the longest tongue in the world. People's reactions are different. Some people react like, that's nasty. Some people react like, whoa, I want to see it again. And some people just get scared. I'm worried she'd have sleep apnea because obviously that tongue is obviously preventing some airway. She learned that she had a gift when her friends dared her to try licking her eye. She said the realization that she could also touch her elbow and earlobe was shocking. She posted a photo of herself on Instagram. She said she garnered several new followers. Some of them questioned whether her tongue was real, and she posted a video to prove it. Doesn't anybody have a job out there? Leave her alone. Really, she has to sit there and prove that it's real? Nearly 7,000 people watched a video on Instagram, and some 1 million more did so when she posted the footage on YouTube. Probably some of them have a job, and they just watch this stuff on the clock. A lot of people are like, oh my God, you're the girl from that video. It's crazy. So now she wants to dethrone the current Guinness World Record holder for the longest tongue in the world. That person's name is Nick Stoberry, whose tongue measures 3.97 inches long, according to Bancroft. To do so, she will have to have a professional take an official measurement of her tongue. See, do they take it from the base of the tongue? The base of the tongue curves back. I would be gagging like crazy. Her mom, Karina, has confidence that her daughter will take the title. She's going to be very famous with her long tongue. Yeah, there's other things kids do to become famous. I think I'd rather it be this. Now, a lot of controversy over vaccinations. They say pediatricians now, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, can discharge the family out of the practice for refusing to vaccinate the children. This has been going on for years, where doctors have been saying, no more, you're not coming here anymore. But now we have the American Academy of Pediatrics blessing, and there's good and bad to that. In a new report published Monday, yesterday in the journal Pediatrics, the doctors group offers multiple approaches for pediatricians dealing with vaccine-hesitant families and stresses that doctors can also be educators. But if no approach works, and pediatricians need to dismiss the family, they must do so thoughtfully and professionally, the report emphasizes. And they must ensure that the family has other options for medical care. They say the decision to dismiss a family who continues to refuse immunization is not one that should be made lightly, nor should it be made without considering and respecting the reasons for the parent's point of view. This is according to Dr. Edwards and Dr. Hackle of the AAP. Nevertheless, the individual pediatrician may consider dismissal of families who refuse vaccination as an acceptable option. So the report is a change of course for the organization that represents over 66,000 pediatricians. The previous policy was against dismissing families, but the report's authors say rising rates of vaccine refusal and doctors' frustrations led to the change. Edwards and Hackle emphasize that pediatricians are often the only medically trained people to talk about vaccines with families, and they have a responsibility to provide doubting parents with scientifically based information. They say pediatricians should be prepared to discuss the science behind the vaccines and the testing each vaccine undergoes, as well as the severity of the diseases they prevent. Doctors should address parents' questions and concerns, and most importantly emphasize that infants and children are the ones at risk, greatest risk of disease. And they also should recommend that the current vaccine schedule is the only one recommended by the CDC and the AAP. But pediatricians also need to treat parental concerns seriously, like in the case of the HPV vaccine. Parents are often concerned not only about side effects, but that the vaccine might lead to sexual activity. They say they need to reassure parents that the vaccine, the HPV, is safe, and it should not promote, you know, people from having sex. Here's the problem, all right? And there's a lot of problems here. Okay. First, when you're a parent, all the logic in the world goes out the door when it's your baby. And so I understand that, and I appreciate that. So when these anecdotal cases of somebody being different after the vaccine, or somebody, you know, and many of us have known somebody where after the vaccine, the child was different. We might not have seen it, but that's what the parents report. And so here you are, a new parent, going, oh, my God, what do I do? Now, I vaccinated my kids. And I vaccinated my kids at a time when people were afraid that the vaccines were what was causing SIDS. The sudden infant death syndromes were on the rise. And they had found, this was at the time, and I don't think they ever were able to continue proving it, but they found an uptick in SIDS that they thought might have been related to the increase in vaccines that we started to administer. And they thought they saw a relationship between the 2, 4, 6 month age of it. I never saw any additional proof on that or any additional studies. Maybe there were, but I never saw it. And so that was a myth I had to help fight with many parents going, well, wait a second, now with all this increase of SIDS, you know, don't be injecting anything into my baby. And we had to tell them, look, the vaccines are not causing SIDS. But as a parent, your job is to put the baby first. And your job is to make sure that, you know, you aren't, doing anything that could harm the baby. So even though you have the doctor and you have the CDC and you have the American Academy of Pediatricians saying it's safe, it's safe, it's safe, that doesn't sway somebody who's a non-believer or somebody who goes, look, but I saw this happen to this. I heard this story. I heard this story. You know, and you know, for me, I'm very honest with patients. I have seen risk factors or I've seen some side effects with vaccines. It has been so rare, extremely rare, and not with the pediatric vaccines. We have a case where a doctor got Guillain-Barré after he got the flu shot. But it was rare, and, you know, I've gotten the flu shot, and I've been fine. I still trust the flu shot. I still trust childhood vaccines. I made sure my kids got the vaccines. But we're all smart, and we know that there's the 1 in a million chance. And how do you convince a mom or dad that that 1 in a million chance is not going to be their kid? And until we figure out how to do that, or we figure out how to get rid of that 1 in a million chance, you're still going to have people refusing vaccines. So now doctors are allowed to dismiss families. Well, they've been doing this for years. I picked up a lot of families of parents whose kid was sick and the doctor refused to take them because they had a rule where if they're unvaccinated, they don't get to come into the clinic. And I understand how the doctor has to protect the other patients. You know, like if you have a kid who's suffering from leukemia, or you have a kid that's immunocompromised, and you have a child that's coming in there with chickenpox, etc., you know, that child who may not have been able to really mount an immune response with their vaccine can now be exposed to somebody. So I get why pediatricians have to do that. I get that. And they're in a very difficult position. But on the other end, I also don't want to refuse care to anybody. But remember, you know, doctors have had to take hit after hit after hit, and they are always liable. And if somebody will accuse them of, giving them a vaccine and then they have a reaction, or not giving them a vaccine and them getting sick, some of these very, very, quote-unquote high-maintenance cases, some doctors may say, you know what, just not here. I don't need the drama. Now, for me, I understand people's fears. I still recommend vaccination. I give them information on the health department because I want to make sure that there's in where I live, the health department has education classes on vaccine to give them all the latest data. I tell them that I vaccinated my kids, etc. But if the kid is sitting there with a fever, I'm going to take care of the kid. I'm not going to kick her out or him out of my practice. So I agree with the American Academy of Pediatrics allowing pediatricians to have the choice, okay? Because, I understand that they are being overwhelmed, but are there options? You know, when they said that they have to ensure that the family has other options for medical care, if you don't have a lot of doctors out there that want to take care of kids that the parents choose to non-vaccinate, and remember, that's what the point is. It's not the kids choosing, it's the parents choosing. Who takes care of these kids? Especially since most clinics really kind of are frowned upon if they have an anti-vaccine policy. 1-877-DOC-DELLY, don't go away.
Rebel. non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. And this could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.